Edward introduced this message as a message for children, and as you can see on the screen, the title is Mutual Submission. The series, the mini series, is Mutual Submission, but we are focusing on godly children this morning. The video you've just seen is for the benefit of the children who were not here last week, because last week our pastor preached about godly parents, and a lot of what the pastor preached about is what you've heard that young girl spoke about. I hope during this past week that children, that you've noticed some changes in your parents, because they've had a week listening to that message from pastor. If you haven't noticed anything, please ask them after today, what did you learn from pastor's teaching last week? Okay, because I need to have that growth in my life as well, that my children will see that. But this mini-series we're talking about is not just about parents or children or husband and wife, which was 2 weeks ago what Pearl preached. It's about mutual submission for all of us as children of God. And a lot of time people misunderstand what submission is all about. It's presented as something negative in this world, that if you submit to somebody, then you are a weakling, that you don't know your right, you don't know how to fight, you can't stand for yourself. The Bible teaches the opposite. It's actually said that we should be submissive. A life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit is a life of mutual submission. Husband submits to wife, wife submits to husband, parents submit to children, children submit to parents. All of us, we submit to God. Okay, so if it seems like I'm talking to children alone this morning, actually I'm not, because in a way, we are all children. Okay, if you've grown enough, you become an adult, you call yourself an adult, but still, you are a child of God. First and foremost, all of us are God's children. So while I'm speaking to the real children, young people amongst us this morning, us adults, we must always put it in context that we are also children of God. And I will be talking about that in a while. Also, I want to mention that apart from biological parents, we also have what the Bible calls spiritual parents. Okay, I think Pastor mentioned it briefly last week, that anybody, if you are a spiritual parent, if you are helping another person to grow to maturity, both spiritually and in other areas of their lives, if you are doing that somehow, you know, we focus on discipleship as a church, if you are discipling somebody, you are their parents, spiritual parents. And you children that you go to Mini Kids, Kids Club, Atoms, Alleyway, those adults that are supporting you to grow, to become a better person in the society, they are your spiritual parents. So when I'm talking about your parents today, obey your parents, please also put those people in the same context, because they are helping you to grow in the way of the Lord. I know some churches have taken it way to the extreme, calling people daddies and mommies and stuff. I don't think we need to do that, but actually, we need to take those people that are teaching us, that are helping us to grow, we need to give them the same respect, the same honor that we give our biological parents. Okay, so that kind of explains what we're talking about. And I don't know how to move the slides. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, so the video, as you've heard, just illustrates what Pastor taught last week. Parents are not perfect. If you want to look at who parents are and use that to choose whether you're going to obey them, well, you're going to disobey them, because we fail you as children all the time. So parents are not perfect. Pastor mentioned some examples last week of how parents are inconsistent in the way that we give you what we want you to do. So, for example, in eating, we can say you're eating too slowly, you're eating too quickly, you're eating too much, you're not finishing your food, you're finishing your food, all sort of things. Our boundaries are constantly shifting because of what we're going through in our lives. So if I've had a tough day, a rough day at work, when I get home, even though I allow my kids to watch TV till a certain stage, I might say, now switch off all the telly. I want peace and quiet because of what I've been through during the day. So we are inconsistent like that as parents. And that's what I hope you will have seen some changes in us since we've been dealing about these messages since last week. But it's not about just being inconsistent. We also don't do what we tell children to do. So a parent will say, child, go to bed early. Early to bed means early to rise so that we can go to church, you know, early on Sunday. But even the parents themselves, they slept late. You see, they said, oh, don't eat too much. It's not good for you. Then we see our parents eating too much. So they said, you know, show respect to people. Don't lie. And then sometimes we see in their own lives that they are doing the same thing that they're telling us not to do. So that's the problem with parents. Another example is that parents are not faithful. You know, they make all sorts of promises. We make all sorts of promises to you children. We say we will do this, we will do that, we will do that. But again, we fail again. How? Because we are not perfect. And as we start to grow in the Lord, if I use my family as example, three children, different age groups, I hope from the first to the last that since I gave my life to Christ, that they've seen a growth in me. Still not perfect, but obviously I hope they've seen that I am more consistent, I fulfill promise, I don't make promise that I know I cannot keep, all those things. I hope my kids see that in me. I hope they see that in you as well. If they don't, please think about it and work on it because we are not perfect. Okay, so children, you're not perfect either. So don't just think because parents are not perfect, we know it all. Children are not perfect either. Because again, we are human, you are still growing, you are still learning. We will continue to grow if we keep traveling this way we have. We will continue to grow in the image of Christ until we die or until Christ returns. So children, you are not perfect as well. You will soon realize as you grow older that you are not as perfect as you think you are because you see a lot of faults in your parents. You see mistakes they make. You see flaws in what they do. And you think, I can do better. I tell you, when you grow up, you will look back at this and you will think, am I even making a bigger mistake than my parents? Because it happens to us all. You are more of your parents than you think you are. You inherited some biological genes from your parents, which means you are predisposed to behave exactly the same way they did. Okay? And they are doing. How they are doing now, if you are not careful, you will end up the same way. I hope it's good so you can say, my parent is my role model. So you can model your life towards that. But all of us, we will find out that as we grow older, that we are doing things that we saw our parents did wrong. I'm a good example for you because a lot of things that I rebelled against as a child, I disobeyed my parents for a lot of reasons. I'll come to that. But a lot of things that I hold them, that I hold against them, mistakes that they've made, I realized I was making some of them myself. I had to critically examine myself and pray for God to help me break those chains that has been transferred from generation to generation. As Rhoda led us in worship today, I just believe that one of the things that God wants to break in us today is those generational bad things that we carry from our parents and that we are already transferring to our children. I pray, Lord, and I've been praying that God will break all those chains in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, that we will not pass down those things that, you know, that we struggled with. That we will only pass down the grace of God and what how good God is to our children. So as I said, no child is perfect. We are all growing. And I want to share briefly in a training we had in King's Church March this year about Christian parenting. And there's a survey that was carried out about children and parents and how parents in King's Church want to see their children. And I just put a list here. Your parents, children, your parents want you to be God-fearing. They want you to be obedient. They want you to be truthful, to be honest and trustworthy. They want you to be respectful, to be responsible. They want you to be independent and accountable for your decisions. They want you to be thankful in heart and in expression. They want you to be humble. They want you to be eager to learn. They want you to be confident in your role as a child of God, even outside there when it's tough. This is a real study of parents in King's Church. And if you are a child here, could you honestly say that you do all those things perfectly well? Of course not. There is no child that will say, I do this perfectly well. Just like all of us as children of God, can we all say that we obey all the commandments of God every day of our lives without failing? Of course not. We can't. That is why we are not perfect. That shows that we are not perfect. So even if we choose the two best commandments, the most important commandment, to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, can we all say that we do that perfectly? Children and parents? No, we don't. But we should keep trying. We should keep trying to grow and learning how to do that. So, parents are not perfect. Children are not perfect. Who is perfect then? God is the perfect Father, and Jesus is the perfect Son. So I would like you to, even though I've told you what is wrong with us, children and parents, let's come out of ourselves. Let's look elsewhere. Let's look at the best place where we can find the solution. Let's look at God the Father. God the Father is the one who loves all of us unconditionally. He's the one who can protect us from all things. He's the one who provided and can provide for all of our needs. He's the one who can teach us by His Word, by His Holy Spirit, of everything that we need. He's the one that can guide us. And whatever guidance God gives us will be the correct guidance. You will not regret it if you follow the guidance of God. It is only God who is the same yesterday, is the same today, is the same forevermore. Unlike parents that keep changing based on their circumstances, God is forever constant. He never shifts, He never changes His perception and the way He looks at us. He is the one that is holy. There's no iota of lie, of darkness in God. He is the one that you cannot find any blame on. If you look at your child or if you look at your parent, you will find something, flaws, mistakes, things that we do wrong. But let's not look at that. Let's look at God, who is perfect as a Father to all of us. And then children, all of us children, the only perfect Son is Jesus. We'll be working, we'll be praying, we'll be seeking God to help us to grow in that image of the perfect Son. But we won't get there fully until we see Him when He comes, when He descends upon the clouds, or when we rise from the dead and we face Him. That's when we will be perfect. But Jesus, as the Son of God, is complete obedience, total submission to the Father. Even though He has power in Himself, He Himself is God, but still is submitted to the Father. He trusted the Father that if I lay down my life, if I die today, as He promised, He's going to raise me in 3 days' time. That is Jesus for you. He obeyed the Father even when it was really painful. Remember that story on Gethsemane when he was sweating blood, Jesus, because of the pain, of the emotional pain of separation that was going to happen from the Father. This is God that has been with the Father for eternity. And He knew that once the sin of all of us was laid on Him on the cross, Father, God is going to turn His face away from His Son. That was so painful. And Jesus was sweating blood and was saying, God, can you please take this away from me? But He said, no. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Are you a child here today that you feel, well, I'm not going to do this because, yeah, that's what I want to do. It's going to be a bit difficult or painful. Can you compare yourself to Jesus? Can you compare somebody who was ready to lay his life down, to suffer all those things that happened to Jesus just because he trusted the Father and he obeyed the Father? Brothers and sisters, children and parents, let us all submit and obey God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that can give us guidance on when we are getting into that realm of disobedience. The Holy Spirit will minister to us and tell us when we are about to go wrong. And he will teach us the right way to go through it. And he will strengthen us, even if we have to go through some pains, in order to, whilst we are obeying our parents. Okay, so that's just like the background. We're not perfect, only God is perfect. So let's focus on God and see how we feel about his instruction for us. So the first main verse is Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So children, God is not asking you to submit to your parents because your parents are good or for whatever reason that you can think about. Just submit to them because that's what God is asking you to do. It's as simple as that. There's no other excuse you can find than to submit to them because God said you should do so. And I'll explain that a bit more. Because there are some instances where you might actually choose to disobey your parents, but you'll be doing the right thing. So let's look at the second verse. This one is from Ephesians 6, from 1 to 3. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. I'll just unpack that a little bit. Let's just be clear what obedience means. Obedience includes both inward reverence and outward act. So that means that it's not just do this and you do this. It depends on what is going through your mind when you obey your parents. So we want to see you obey your parents, but we want to see it come from your inside as well, from your heart, because you are choosing to obey God. Remember, your parents can only see what you do, but God sees your heart. God really knows whether you are obeying it because of him or because for whatever reasons. I know there are children who perhaps only come to church because their parents say they should come to church. But actually, are you just obeying so that they won't shout at you or they won't do whatever they do to you if you don't go to church? Or are you coming to church because of God and because of obedience to God? The heart, the inward, you know, what you feel inside is important when you choose to obey or to disobey God. Okay, so in that first verse it said, obey your parents in the Lord. So my take on this, and there could be other interpretation, but my belief is that it's what I've said earlier, that you have parents in the Lord, those people who are not your biological parents, but those people that are guiding you, that are helping you to grow in church, in Christ. Those are still your parents. So when it says, obey your parents in the Lord, it refers to non-biological parents as well, your spiritual parents. And also, it applies, I got two kind of interpretation for that. In the Lord also means when they tell you to do things that does not contradict with the commandment of God. Okay, so please, we need to get that really clear, and I'll be hopefully showing some examples shortly. When your parent asks you to do something, your first response should be to obey, okay? But if you've given your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, even as a child, if you've been asked to do something wrong. if what your parents ask you to do is against a commandment of God, we'll deal with that later, how to deal with it. But you have a right not to obey your parents in that way. Okay, it's very complex and I don't have enough time to go through it, but please hold that in mind, discuss it in your churches, in the homes. When should I not obey my parents? Okay, I'll give a personal example for myself. I was born in a Muslim family. As I said earlier, I rebelled against so many things as a young person. Actually, when Pastor gave me this topic, I said, how could you give a formerly disobedient child to teach this topic? But the Lord ministered to me. He said, who is best to teach it than the person who has been through it? You know, if you've been through a particular phase or problem in your life, you see it more clearly. And I saw a lot of my mistakes as a young person, and I saw that. And you know, God will forgive us. No problem about that. We're going to have communion later. So if you've sinned, if you disobey your parents, ask for forgiveness. God will forgive you. No problem. But sometimes, some of those disobedience acts, they leave things, scars in our lives that we might have to carry for the rest of our lives. And I don't wish that for anybody. So the earlier, the sooner that you submit to God, that you obey God, then you will escape all those repercussions of acts, of sinful acts that we might have done in our lives in disobedience. God will forgive us, God will help us, but we need to be careful. So for me, being raised in a Muslim family, I choose because my parents said, you must be a Muslim, and I chose because I met with Christ, I chose to disobey them, and I chose to follow God, Christ. So that is clear, it's clear cut. You either follow a wrong God and go to hellfire, or follow Christ and go to eternal peace, eternal life with Him. I made that choice. I knew it's disobeying. In fact, at that time, I did not know all that I know now. But I chose to follow God. And that's very clear as an act of disobedience to a parent. But it's a rightful one. So as you discuss in your church, in the home, if you have examples of a parent asking a child to lie, asking a child to go, I'm using extreme cases here, go to prostitution, sorry, young people, if you don't know that, go into prostitution, kill somebody, steal, all those things is clearly against God's command. You have a right to disobey them in that respect. And you will need support from the church, from your elders, from your spiritual parents, and please use those support networks to know how to do it. Whatever you do, if you go back to the same passage, he said, the first part, the first verse, is talking about obedience alone. And then verse 2 said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So if you unpack that a little bit, if you go to Exodus 20, verse 12, that same from verse 2 was repeated there. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, so you are not going to die because of you disobeying your parents, but you will suffer that consequence if you do not honor your parents. I hope that's clear. Disobedience is allowed in the context of if they are pulling you away from God. Otherwise, you must obey them all the time. And you have to honor them. If you disobey them rightfully, you still have to honor them. So I use my personal example again. Even though I decline to follow the faith of my parents, I will never dishonor them. One is gone now, hopefully to be with the Lord. I still have a mother, I still have elder siblings. I have to honor them, even though I will say to them, I will not follow your God, but I will never disrespect them in that way. Okay, so please, let's be clear about that. So it's a commandment of God, and there are so many commandments of God, but the Holy Spirit will teach us the ones that we have to obey at that point in time. For example, the Ten Commandments that we have, all of them are real, and we have to obey all of them. I'll just go quickly through them. You shall have no other gods but God. You shall not make or bow down to an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord, so not swearing. You shall keep the Sabbath day, find a day of rest within the week. Honor your father and your mother. That is the fifth commandment that God gave. By the way, he gave it on this tablet to the Israelites. But these laws are eternal. They are from time, that at the beginning of time, you could see like the Sabbath, it was at the creation of the world that God instituted that law. So all of them, they just don't sit with the Israelites or with the Jews. They are for all of us. And the fifth one is to honor your father and your mother. Okay, so the sixth commandment, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not lie, you shall not covet. Don't be looking at something somebody else has and said, I want that, I want that. Children, I hope you understand that. If your parent is asking you to do anything that takes you away from obeying the Ten Commandments of God, for example, you have a right to disagree with them. And I'll be talking you through how you can deal with that conflict as we go on. Okay, so, but first, let's do a classroom exercise. I got three case examples there. I'll have to go through them very quickly because of time. So I'd like you to all try to answer this. We want to know which child is obedient or which child is more obedient in those three case scenarios. The first one, a parent asked a child to do something. So I went to the first child, I said, could you iron this shirt for me? And that child said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm busy on my game, whatever. And the parent went to the second child, child B, and said, could you help me polish this shoe? And the second child said, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. And then the father went upstairs, had a shower, came back down, and he found that child A, actually, who said he was going to refuse to iron the shirt, had done it. His parents came away, his ironed the shirt. But child B, who said he was going to polish the shoe, actually did not. So, let's just say it. Which child is more obedient, or which child is obedient? Children, could you just say? Yeah, thank you. Child A. Do we all agree with that answer? Okay, thank you. Well done, Ayo. Thank you. We move to scenario number two, question two. Let me warn you, it gets more difficult as we go down. This is the story of the prodigal son. You probably know it as well. I put the Bible reference there if you want to go read them later. But the story of the prodigal son was a man had two children. One child took all the share of his wealth. He went, finished the money, you know, in a wrongful way, then came back, repented of what he's done. He came back to the father. The father welcomes him into the house. And the father threw a party for his welcome. So child A is that prodigal child who went away but later came back and asked for forgiveness. And his father forgave him, and the father threw a party for him. But there was a part, the child B, he was always obedient to the father. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just obeying, doing as he was told. But something happened after this disobedient child came. And I'll read it for you where it says in Matthew 21 from 28 to 31. I'll read from verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had... Oh, sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. I'll read again from Luke. The prodigal son story is from Luke chapter 15, verse 28 to 30. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. This was the party now that was organized for the other child. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. So the father spent a lot of money to throw a party for the child who went away and came back. Which child is going to answer for us? Who is the obedient child? Anybody? Is it A or B? I don't want to call Ayo again. Let's have a lady behind you. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to add something to it? Gap? Sorry, I didn't know your name. Yeah. Sam. Okay. So you see, I told you it's going to be more difficult as we go down. So we can unpack that when you get to your church in the home. Look at it. But what I said at the beginning is that God looks into your heart. So when you obey, children, you mustn't just obey because of what you're going to get out of it. This child B, for example, was obedient to the father, but he has his eye on the inheritance that he was going to get. And the moment this formerly disobedient child came back, his inheritance was being threatened because he knew some of it would go to him again. So he showed his anger. He showed that he wasn't really obedient because he is obeying God. He's obeying that father because of what he was going to get from the father. Okay, I'll go through the last one quickly. This is even much more tricky. So just to explain how tricky these situations can be. A parent on a Sunday morning asks a child to do something for them, and one child A, refused because he or she wants to go to church. And child B obeyed, stayed home, did whatever the parent wanted them to do, and then did not go to church. Which child is the obedient one? This is very tricky, and I don't have enough time. Okay, are you again? Sorry. Thank you, Ayo. In case you didn't hear that, he said child A is the right child, is the good child, because he felt God say you should go to church, you must go to church. So if a parent asks you not to go to church, then you should go to church. Okay. I won't say which one is right and which one is wrong, because it's based on the context. Okay, it's based on the context of that question. And parents, you might struggle with this as well. I'll give an example of what happened in my house one day. One child was not feeling well. I had to be in church because I've got something like this to do in church, which I couldn't miss. Then I had one child to stay home to look after the other child, which was not well enough, so I can come to church. Okay, that child obeyed and did what I asked her to do. Okay, she hasn't done anything wrong. She's obeyed the father. In my perspective, you can discuss it, she's obeyed the father. It becomes a problem where your parent is asking you to stay home every Sunday and not go to church. God is clear in this passage we've read that we must obey our parents. But God did not say we must go to church every Sunday. So you can think about it and discuss how you feel about it. You have to go to church, but you have to obey your parents. What do you do at that point in time? Please discuss it in church in the home. I move on quickly to the practical applications of how to obey your parents, and I'm conscious we're running out of time very quickly. So, the first start point from all this message is to obey your parents. Okay, and to obey your parents, you have to listen to your parents. You have to really know what they are asking you to do. Sometimes we parents, we don't do ourselves justice because we don't actually explain to them what we want them to do and why we want them to do that. So if parent does his part, talks to you, tells you why they're asking you to do a particular task or chore in the house, then you should please listen to your parents. And the Bible says in that Proverbs 1:8-9, it says, "Listen, my son, my daughter, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." They will serve you well. They will make you look beautiful in God's presence if you obey your parents. These are practical applications. Supposing what your parents ask you to do, you don't like it. Ask them. You know, you're not in my time. It's a woodborn monkey. You can't ask your parents question. In my time, in my parents, let me say, you just have to do what they tell you. But this is more developed, better world, new time that is good, actually, that parent and child can have a conversation, they can have a debate, they can have a discussion. So if you are not sure, if you don't agree with your parent, discuss it with them. Ask them why they're asking you to do that. What is there? Why is it so important? All those kind of questions. And the Bible passage here, Proverbs 15:1, is saying, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So if your parents tell you something you don't like and you just reply in a very rude way, then it's going to escalate. It's going to go wrong right from there. But if you ask them politely in a nice way and ask them to explain, don't even tell them they are wrong at that time. Just say, could you look into this? Could you think about it again? I'm sure when they think about it, and with the teaching that we have been receiving in church, they will reconsider and tell you the right thing after that. So if you are not sure, ask questions. Number three, the first principle is to always obey your parents. As we said, if they tell you, even if it's going to hurt you, even if it's going to make you lose something else, you know, as long as it's not against God's command upon your life and God's command upon you, then please obey your parents. That's what the Bible says. It's also said in Colossians 3:20, I know we've read Ephesians 6:1, but in Colossians 6:20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." So obey your parents, as Jesus obeyed the Father, even when it was painful. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. If you are struggling to obey, if you find that difficult to obey, ask yourself, why am I struggling? If you are struggling because you've found, in your knowledge, that it's against the will of God, it's against the command of God, that's fine. You just need to find an advocate to advocate for you with your parents so that they can desist from what they are asking you to do. But you have to check yourself too, children. Why are you disobeying? And the verse I put there is 1 John 2:15-17. I think Pastor used it about a few weeks ago as well. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and the desires passes away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So you have to check yourself. I circle there the pride of life. A lot of reasons why children don't want to obey their parents is because of pride. It's because you think you know more than your parents. You know what is right more than your parents. That is what everybody else is doing out there. So if you do it otherwise, your mates are going to laugh at you. They're going to think you are stupid or whatever. No, you have to know that you are in Christ and you are to serve God and to obey God. And that includes obeying your parents, even if your friends are going to laugh at you. Okay, so that is important. And the last bit, okay, the second to the last bit in practical application, focus on the good. We've already said, if you look at the parents, at their attitude and what we do, you might choose, actually, I'm not going to obey them. But you have to look at the good, because no matter how bad your parents are, there's something good in them. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:8, that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Those are the, when you look at your parents, try to ignore the flaws that you see in them. Try to pray for them that God will help them to overcome that. But look at the good things that they do as your parents, because I'm sure, even as members of King's Church, your parents are really good compared to other parents that is out there in the community. And the last bit, please apologize. If you know that you've disobeyed your parents in whatever way, apologize to them and say, I'm sorry. We talked about parents last week apologizing to children when we've made mistakes as well. So it's mutual submission. Children, if you've disobeyed or you are currently in an act of disobedience, please go to your parent and say, I am sorry. Repent, okay, because that is important. Again, we have communion today. If there's anything you are holding your parents on for that you haven't forgiven them, there's an opportunity today before you come and take communion to ask God to forgive you for even holding it against them. Okay, so you can take communion. If you find in a struggle that your parent is asking you to do something that is unlawful according to the law of God, please discuss in church, in the home, how to deal with that. But my recommendation is look around you for your spiritual parents. Go to that spiritual parent and speak to them in confidence. Say, look, that mom is asking me to do this. Could you please help me talk to them? And your parents will listen to them if somebody can show them, an adult, for example, about what they are doing wrong, what they are not getting. Okay, sometimes you might use a mother versus a father, because if your dad is asking you to do something, you could go to your mom and say, Mom, could you help me here? This is not right. I don't feel it's right. Could you speak to your husband about it? Okay, and we always agree with our wives. And vice versa. If it was mom that was being difficult, go talk to your dad, and your dad can suit it up with your mother. Because together we are all submitting as children of God. Thank you. God bless you all.